Hi, welcome to Made in the 80s, the podcast about the 80s, people from the 80s, talking about things from the 80s and how they influence our lives and what we think about them. I'm your host, Shalia, and with me tonight we have...
Tim.
Kendon.
And our guest is...
Manny.
Manny, welcome to Club South End / Made in the 80s
welcome,
podcast.
Welcome.
Yay. So we're very excited to have you for another episode of our first... time doing our spooky October. spooky.
This is a big for you because you don't like scary movies.
No, I am doing this for the love of the podcast. It means a lot.
Well, you got through Fright Night.
I got through Fright Night.
Yeah. You're fine.
And Blade Runner. I got through Blade Runner 2049. I got through two Blade Runners.
Isn't that scary?
All right. So, and this week I got through, we get through. What are we watching this week? What are we discussing?
Oh, horror classic, The Shining.
Classic.
The Shining. One of your favorite movies?
The Shining.
Oh, yeah. One of my favorites.
Released in 1980. Yep. So I don't know if it's technically made in the 80s.
What month?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. It made money in the 80s.
Yes.
It's made money since.
Month-wise, I'm not sure, but it was made in my point of view.
Yeah. So we are about... 11 minutes, 30 seconds into the movie, playing in the background. And Tim made a comment earlier that there's nothing scary in the first 40 minutes of the movie.
There's
and
not.
I beg to differ because within the next minute or two, we are going to have the first glimpse of blood in the hallway out of the elevators and creepy children. Blood? Blood means some body is like... leaking fluid.
Who has all that blood?
Yeah, who has that much blood?
Yeah, there's a lot of blood. That's a lot. That's
a lot
of blood. That's a lot of bodies. I did the Tower of Terror at California Adventure. It's fucking terrifying. Mm-hmm. My sisters can attest. It was terrifying. Fucking worst nightmare. Anyhow.
Well, those two twins popping up out of nowhere is kind of... Are they twins or just sisters?
They're sisters. They're not twins.
They're 8 and 10.
But they're dressed alike.
They're just dressed alike.
Yeah.
So it makes them look like they're twins, but they're just...
So I got us, I think, a little sidetracked, but released in 1980. We're watching The Shining.
Directed by Stanley Kubrick.
SAG compliant. When you start it, don't worry. It's not the end of the movie. This is the beginning because it's back in the day when SAG ruled the world and made you put all this stuff up front.
Yes. All of the credits up front.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay.
I mean, Star Wars broke that, so this came out after Star Wars.
It did, but it was still following the, you know. Everything doesn't, like, break all at once. It was starting to crumble. Star Wars is like, I'm doing this, New Hope. And then Empire Strikes Back comes out this year, the same year as The Shining.
Mm-hmm.
So it's building.
Totally
it's building.
Movies. Quite
different.
Quite
very,
different
very, very different movies.
Yeah.
Both have big scenes in the snow.
Both have big stars.
Snow, big stars. No creepy kids.
Both have evil, just straight evil in the...
Pure evil.
Okay.
All right, let me explain the movie.
Yeah, Manny, you're our guest. Would you please tell us like a synopsis of the plot of this movie?
So my way of seeing it, the plot of this movie is basically this and complete sight of the past coming to the future.
Okay.
That's the way I see it. He basically goes from the reincarnation from the past to the future and how everything just coming back and ongoing and non-stopping.
Cyclical?
Yes.
Time is a flat circle. Did anybody here watch True Detective?
Yes. Or Doctor Who.
Oh, rules, rules for the podcast. If it's 5 years old, you can spoil it if you want. If it's less than 5 years old, we're trying not to.
Okay.
So, True Detective, not 5 years old. So, we can't spoil that.
But spoil it.
Doctor Who, it's really like a carpet. Never mind. So tell us about the plot. Like, who's in it? What is this about?
It's basically about a family that comes in and moves in into a resort or a building. And he gets interviewed into going into there because he wants to go there and start writing. Just he's basically a writer. He wants to write something. And he wants his piece. He wants his place where he can actually concentrate. and he moves in with his family, his kid, his wife, and then everything just overturns over a moment, over time, mm-hmm. and that's when all the action starts.
So
and he goes crazy. The action? The action is he becomes he tries to murder his family.
Yes. Murder.
He becomes crazy, psychotic, and
want to correct that.
Just goes overboard and just wants to just overkill.
Yeah. Overkill.
So
overkill.
So this takes place in the Canadian Rockies, I believe.
It takes place in Colorado.
Yes. Yes. You're right. I was just in the Canadian Rockies. But yes, in the Rockies of Colorado. So the resort, like he mentions that this he would think it would be a ski resort, but they get so much snow that it closes the roads.
The roads.
So really, they need somebody there to keep an eye on the place and keep the maintenance going, like the boilers and stuff, through the winter, which is a long winter.
It starts in May and it ends in May. It starts on Halloween. It starts October 31st and goes into May.
So that's a full six months.
Yeah, half a year. And it's crazy because it's only 3 hours. Like, he drove from Denver in 3 hours. So it's fairly close to, you know, a big city, but not still with the roads. Windy.
Up mountain roads, twisty mountain roads, which is kind of what the movie opens with.
I kind of liked that. It, like, showing the way you get there is, like, very visual. I understand the picture of it's far away. Okay. You know, it's remote. I get it.
Something funny is when I was watching that, I forgot that it was a camera for a second because, like, there's a camera following the car and then it gets up real close to, like, it's really with the car and then it veers off and I was like, oh, we're going off the side of the road. But no, it's because the camera is just showing you the scenery. But for a minute there, I was like, oh, the car's going to go off the road.
Good camera work.
Yeah. No, the good camera work is an understatement for this movie.
Any awards won from this movie?
I don't even know.
Probably a million.
Should be.
So Jack shows up at the Overlook Hotel.
Jack Torrance. That's Jack Nicholson.
Jack Nicholson before his family gets there. And he's getting interviewed by these guys who are offering him the job to be the caretaker for the winter months at the Overlook. And during the interview, they tell him a very interesting story about a murder that happened. A guy murders his family. He was there. All of a sudden, he went crazy.
A former caretaker. I'm there during this, low time. No one else really around.
Someone who previously did his job.
Yeah.
Back in the 1970.
Mm-hmm. So 10 years ago.
10 years ago, he kills his wife and daughter. His two young daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And they just wanted Jack to know that that's the thing that happened.
Named Grady.
Jack didn't even hear about it.
No,
apparently not.
On an interview, he asked him about it. And he's like, no, I actually don't know about that story.
He was drinking back then still, so he was probably missing a lot of news. Because Jack has a history of drinking too much and not being able to control himself. Well, I don't know.
You have the issue that she talks about when she takes Danny to the doctor, that he grabbed Danny and dislocated his shoulder.
Yeah. She grabbed him too hard. It definitely sounded like a moment of parental, like, loss of control, abuse, but not, like, intentional, but I'm mad, so I'm, like, rough handling you a little bit.
Aggression kind of.
Yeah.
Trouble on it.
Yeah.
He's got some aggression history on
He's got some aggression in there.
Yeah, that's the intro to it.
And just comes out.
She kind of implies that, like, she's kind of been on the other end of that, too. Like, the way she just kind of minimizes it and talks about it, it's like, okay, like, red flags there. Like, okay.
I mean, she's...
I wouldn't go away with this guy for 6 months by just me.
I'll say to you guys is, like, you think that's what overpowered him to be possessed because of him being already aggressive?
I think he's already weak. I think it's just, like, he's like, I give up alcohol as if the alcohol was the reason he was that way. But no, the alcohol was just the key and he was that way.
Or the fuel, even.
Yeah. Like, but it's in his nature.
Overpowered the old caretaker.
Who knows? Something similar?
Could he just be aggressive and all over?
Well, here's the thing. There has to have been caretakers in between. They don't say why the position's open currently, which I'm like, what happened? Like, was it 1970 or was it more recent than that? But, like, who did it last year? Why is this open? But assuming that it really did happen in 1970, this other bad stuff, then, like, that means that's almost a decade of other caretakers being able to handle it and not kill everybody.
But they're not... Okay, so this is kind of about reincarnation, you were saying?
Yeah.
You were thinking, right, Manny? So those other people may not have just... They may not be reincarnated. They may just be regular people. He has some connection and was drawn to the place as well.
Yeah, but you gotta also think, like, there is some pictures that there's other people that were involved on this building back in the day that actually still happened to. So it's
nice. Wait, does this happen to somebody every year?
I don't think it can happen every year.
Not every year does somebody go crazy. Like, it's happened before, and I was just assuming that those people were, it happened before. Well, okay, so my question is, so I didn't even know what The Shining was before I watched the movie. I didn't know what it referred to.
What? Okay, what does The Shining mean?
Well, it has to do with, like, not, is it telepathy? It's kind of an extra sensory perception. Right. That's what
Danny has.
Psychic abilities?
Yeah, it's like psychic abilities. So he has The Shining, Danny, the kid, right? Which allows him to communicate non-verbally with the cook.
Scatman Crothers.
Yeah. What is his name, that character?
Magical Negro.
That is his role. Yes. So,
like, as soon as he walked in the room, I'm like, are you going to? Yep, you are. Okay.
So one thing I want to say is that it seems like Jack and Danny both are seeing and experiencing weird things. But the mother doesn't seem to until much further into the movie.
Yeah. So like the end.
Until the end. So yeah. I'm wondering whether or not they're saying, it's basically Jack also has some version of The Shining. Like, maybe he passed it down to his son. And that's why the two of them are experiencing the weird stuff. And until it hits its peak, the mother doesn't get involved, doesn't recognize that.
Kind of saw that. Or that, like, it's chipping away. Their defenses are, they have less defenses there. So, like, they're more susceptible to it.
She does not seem like the sort of person with a lot of defenses.
I see where he's coming from. But the way I actually see is the way, like, the dad, Jack, he's got The Shining, but on the evil side.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and the kid, his son, has it on the warning sign saying, you know, this is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But he could go bad when he grows up, the kid.
Possibly. Yeah.
Like, or channel it towards good, like Dexter.
Yeah, so it all depends.
Dexter was a murderer.
How the outcome comes, though.
I said channel it towards good.
So
but in this movie, I mean, I think they both have The Shining, but one is the evil side and one is the good side, which is trying to warn him, saying, get out before this happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of like, the way I was kind of seeing it is, like, they're both sensitive to the spirit realm, for lack of a better word. So it's like, okay, the barrier is lower for them to experience it than it is for the mother. And he just happens to be he just seems like a jerk from the get-go.
All right, let's talk about that. So this movie is based on, no, I'm not going to say what you think I'm going to say. This movie is based on the novel by Stephen King. Mm-hmm. And I think what I read was Stephen King was good with this being made, but he was, the like thing that he did not agree with was the casting of Jack Nicholson. And the reason being, it was so clear from the beginning that he's a bad guy, like he's going to turn bad, like he's just suspicious from the very beginning. Huh. So Stephen King really wanted John Voight to play him, or somebody like that, where it, like,
Voight?
Yeah, John, like, where Voight. It builds. And also in the novel versus in the movie, Jack is a little bit more of a sympathetic character. Like, you see him really kind of trying, and he's, like, working really hard, and that's what takes over, like, his, it's like almost like a manic, it seems like, energy.
I think I get some of that coming through in this movie.
Yeah, but like, so the writer's block doesn't last as long versus in this, where he just gets frustrated, or the opposite.
Can we all agree that Jack Nicholson has like resting crazy face?
Yes.
Yes, that's why I was trying to, like, straight out from the beginning, he just already looked psycho.
And his hair, like the is, what is this?
Widow's
peak? Is it a widow's peak?
Yeah.
It's, well, it's like, not too, it's not a sharp one, but yeah.
His eyebrows, his look,
his eyebrows,
his smile.
Jack Nicholson, smiles, we're not saying that you're not amazing. We're just saying that.
No, some people have faces like that, like Willem Dafoe. Like, you just got a crazy face.
Yeah.
He makes money off of it, so it's all good.
Fire exit, is that foreshadowing? Doesn't the hotel burn down?
No.
Okay, in the book, the hotel burns down. So that's probably foreshadowing. On the door, it says fire exit really big.
How can it be foreshadowing for something that doesn't happen?
On the movie, on the book, you
know. Foreshadowing for the book? I guess not. I guess it's not foreshadowing. I guess it's
It could be an Easter egg.
I mean, it's a very big text for not being important. Relevant.
Yeah.
So currently, Scatman is giving Shelley Duvall and the kid a tour of the kitchen. I had a question of, like, why is he taking her to the kitchen? I wouldn't go to the kitchen. So and Kendon said it's because she's the woman. Yeah. Like, the setup of this. I was like, why would, like, oh, let me take you to the kitchen. Yeah. Why would you take her to the kitchen?
Is clearly that she's, like, a homemaker.
Right.
Like, she does not have a career. I think that's kind of why
one of the setups from back in the days. It's like the wife does cook.
Yeah.
You know, and the husband works.
And it plays depending out on what, yeah. Through the movie, she keeps, like, basically bringing him food and stuff, so.
That's her role, is to cook, which,
but it also works for him to be showing her around. It kind of works on a story level.
I just, the kitchen seems like the most dangerous place to me. I guess knowing that this is a scary movie, like, why are you going to the kitchen alone?
Yeah, they don't know that it's a scary movie.
Yeah,
they don't know they're entering into a scary place. It's
really a survival thing. Like, the most thing everybody's going to do is cook. No. So you gotta have your kitchen set up.
I'll eat that shit raw. I don't want to be near burning things or knives.
Anything raw can be just as dangerous.
Could be.
And also, like, Catman is the Scatman's the cook, right?
Yeah, yes. He's the head chef.
And he's out of here. He's leaving.
Yeah, so he's giving them the tour. Someone's gotta get this tour.
Yep, exactly.
And that's tough.
Scatman is also special. He's very friendly, and we wonder about that. Like, he's super friendly, and then turns out he's got powers too.
He's got the shine.
And how does he reveal that? By asking, what's the kid's name? Danny. Danny, yeah. You want ice cream, don't you? I was like, oh my gosh, that's like the in for me. Like, yes, I always want ice cream. Like, I don't have to be thinking about ice cream. You just say you want ice cream. I'm like, you read my mind. I want ice cream. It's really creepy. But he's nice. Like, he's a nice, nice guy. And Kenan mentioned this, right? Like, is he overly nice in, like, today's world?
About that sort of thing nowadays, because he seemed, his mannerisms seem kind of predatorish based off of our culture.
Again, motto is keep your hands off the kids.
Yes, the motto of the podcast is please keep your hands off the kids.
And he does. We'd have no reason to think that he doesn't. But we're like, he's, like, very good with kids and friendly, and we're like, now suspicious of that, because he offers to take Daddy to get some ice cream while all the other adults leave him. But that's good, because he also has his shining, so he can talk to Danny about the shining. So can someone explain, I know we talked about whatever we did, a kind of general definition of the shining, but how does it present itself in the movie? Like, how are we introduced to the shining? What is it for us by watching this?
It's Scatman and Danny having a conversation over the ice cream.
In their minds.
And Danny does want to talk about it. Then Danny starts asking him. He starts telling him about his imaginary friend. And what he warns him of. And
Tony.
Tony. And he asks him if Tony told him anything about the hotel.
So can somebody give me some idea of what the whole thing with the imaginary friend is?
Does Tony, do you know that Danny is... I'm sorry, I didn't interrupt you.
Well, does he have a secondary personality or what?
So there's lots of theories about that. But Danny's middle name is Anthony. So Tony is just, I think Tony is a part of him.
Okay, so he's similar not being communicated by, like, a spirit or something.
No.
So, okay, this is thought of as kind of a ghost movie or, like, a spirit movie. But from what I read, it's also, it could alternatively or at the same time be, like, a place or area can, like, absorb the evil spirit or the evilness that has happened there. So it's not necessarily that, like, the ghost of these people live there. It's that this place holds the bad energy from that. And so...
Yeah, what I experienced was that this was the building had almost had a personality of its own.
Mm-hmm. And you're, like, absorbed into it.
Somebody or it was malevolent as a structure itself.
Yes.
Right. It's showing people images that they don't want to see, blood in the hallways, creepy twins.
Yeah.
Messing people's minds. Yeah.
Yeah. It's totally the space.
And so, yeah. So why does it spare the, quote unquote, spare the mother of a lot of that? Is what I'm curious about.
It has to chip through to her.
She seems like she has a weak personality.
But maybe she's not scared. Like, remember they're driving. So remember when they're driving into, like, driving to move to the Overlook Hotel, and, like, they're going through all these, like, weavy streets, and she's like, "Isn't this where the Donner Party got?" Shredded. Like, she's clearly not scared of that kind of stuff. Like, I wouldn't say that because I am scared of that stuff. So if we go, I'm like one of the first to start seeing the spirits and like going crazy. You should just like send me home. Send me home. Don't make me stay there. It's scary. Give me a helicopter and get me home. So maybe she's just not as vulnerable to it.
Get out.
Get out. Get out. Get out.
Gotta move.
But I think it's also about how you just gonna empower it. If it's got a reason to power you over it.
Yeah. Like,
the dad has a reason to get power over it because he's so focused on one thing. Like, the mom is focused more on the safety, the family, and everything. So
she's just better grounded.
She's more grounded, more safety on
totally
more concentrated on one thing than more evil. Like, spirit wise, it's gonna more. If you go like spirit wise, 100%, spirits will transfer to you if you got any weaknesses.
Yeah.
Okay. Evilness
yeah.
on you. Mm-hmm. You know, it all depends and adapts to it. But most mothers are more concerned instead of more saying, oh, I'm scared of this, I'm scared of that. They're more safety wise.
Yeah, but they're taking care of everyone else. Yeah, they're focused on all this other stuff.
Right, of fate or something. Because we find out at the end that he was present at the beginning of this hotel.
Was he, or did the hotel absorb him in, and that's why he's there?
Yeah,
That's the question.
That's a good question.
Yeah, right there. And a part of it is like you get this choice. And a lot of it, so this is not my like intuition. I read this on the internet. It's like the idea of a double.
Is that your original thought?
Yeah, no, okay. Not my original thought. I can't cite it because I don't know where exactly. But the doubles, right? Like the double imagery, like Jack Nicholson seeing things in mirrors. That's when he experiences all of this stuff. Okay. And like the employee who like follows them throughout the entire hotel, like his only role is to look like Jack Nicholson and just like be a normal guy, like walking around. Like it's. You have a choice. And so my guess is the last 10 years, the other caretakers made the choice of, I'm not going to succumb to all this shit. And I'm like, going to not keep this job. But don't kill everybody. But Jack Nicholson does succumb to it.
So his spirit is trapped here.
Now.
Not that he has a connection from the past. He's not reincarnated.
I don't know.
No, you'll see that. I don't want to spoil it, but you'll see.
Spoil it.
Like, at the end of the movie, you see him frozen.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's going to be on this one, but there is some extended version on it where you see photos of the past.
Well, when I watched they showed at least one photo.
On the wall.
There's a photo on the wall.
Yeah.
And he's actually in there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but now,
close to it.
When he got there, was he in that photo is what we're asking.
Was the photo there in the beginning of the movie? Have we looked?
I don't know.
No, they don't show that.
Well, we have the movie's playing right now. We I did read this on the internet too. I want to say Wikipedia told me.
It's a gorgeous,
when he's playing with his
location.
Tennis ball or whatever on the wall. I think the picture is in that scene, so we should watch for it.
But we can't see it.
So you guys think that every single person that gets caught into the building gets added into the
exactly
yes.
yeah
gets
absorbing
added.
Them into the
or
and now you're stuck in
the alternative is what you were proposing is mm-hmm. that there
you've
are
been there
spirits,
all along
there are spirits who were involved in the beginning of this because it was built on an Indian or a Native American like burial site.
Native American are always reincarnated kind of style is spiritual
right so there's also the idea that maybe his spirit is being punished by being brought back to this place and tormented by it.
Right.
So those are the two alternatives that I see as possibilities.
All right. So a lot of craziness happens, okay? So Jack, however, is pretty quiet until early on, and we're getting to the part in the movie right now, we're like 35 minutes in, when his wife interrupts him, and he sort of snaps on her.
In a way that kind of makes it seem like it does that on a regular basis.
Yeah, and then like makes it like a joke, just joking.
I mean, especially and she's his history with drinking, and especially being a writer. You know, there's a point that a writer are always going to be snapped out and be like, "Let me just concentrate."
Right. Yeah, but he's just sleeping here.
Right. So a month into it, he's sleeping.
You can be grumpy in the morning, so when I wake you up.
So can you.
Yeah.
She's bringing in food. All right. So then it's
and neither of us bring in breakfast.
Yeah, I know. That's a nice little friend.
She's like a servant to him in a lot of ways.
Right.
So it's
but back in the day that's normal though, because the wife is basically the one that takes care of the house, you know, cooking, cleaning, the son, and all that. So that's that's a common thing, you know, on that area.
So yeah, but it's weird because he's like blaming her for it. At one point, he starts blaming her for like being in the way of his life, which is weird.
Right.
She doesn't have her own career. So she's basically there taking care of, like,
yeah, she basically taking care
of. So what is she in the way of?
At some point, you can blame anybody around you for whatever's happening.
And it's like, apparently at that point, that's being, the...
like, existing around me.
That's the evil spirit happening.
Okay, so we're 36 minutes in.
So, okay, so...
Wait, I want to point this out, that, because you were saying, like, she, like, he kind of snaps at her and, like, it's weird. It's also shown through the mirror. Remember I mentioned that, like, he only sees the bad... spirits and stuff during mirrors. Like, this whole scene is shown to us through a mirror. Like, we're watching it.
What? Huh.
In a mirror.
Are you sure?
Well, we were until I just looked over. Now we're not anymore.
Oh, yeah. Huh.
And he's, like, sticking his tongue out and stuff. I don't know. Sorry, Tim. Now tell us what you're thinking.
So he slowly starts going crazy at some point.
There's a lot of detail in this movie.
Yes, he does.
He starts going crazy at some point. And Danny goes to room 237, which he's been told to stay away from. There's nothing in there. He doesn't
There's always something. If they tell you to stay away from it, that always means that there's something there.
How old is this kid? He's like 7?
You know that. Not nine.
No,
because he's on that little tricycle thing.
Yeah. Unless he's a miniature version of a child.
And he didn't open that. He didn't open that room. The room was open.
So here,
so it's hard to believe that he wouldn't easy to believe, I should say, that he would go in.
But even when I was that age, I mean, somebody told me not to go there. I'll still go there. Yeah.
That's the idea. Don't go there. It means why not?
But he also doesn't think about it. Well, at this point, he might know he's in a scary movie, but doesn't know to what degree.
Well, especially if he's got the China. You can already see the warning.
So this
he's seen the twins and the blood.
But the thing is that he doesn't know what it means.
Fair enough? Yeah.
He this might, maze he, is terrifying. He's too young to notice what those signs mean.
Right.
You know, he might see him, but he'll be like, what's going on? You know, are you guys real? Or what's going or what?
You know, and I guess from a story point of view, the mother can't also be experiencing these things, or else the two of them would get out a lot sooner.
Oh, she would have
left. She didn't experience it until later.
She would have experienced it right.
Yeah,
right
while you can still escape.
Yeah, she would have left.
Right now, they're introducing this hedge maze that they have at this hotel. And I just want to say, when I saw, there's a scene at the end where Jack is chasing Danny through this, and it's terrifying. Yeah. This movie does really, the camera work, it does this like over the shoulder sort of point of view. Also, like when Jack is attacking her is chasing her up the stairs and she's swinging at him with the bat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's really good at creating tension based off of the point of view of the characters who are being, assaulted or,
39 minutes, 34 seconds in, we're about to get the first glimpse of Jack experiencing The Shining. Right? Like him looking at the model version of this maze while the wife and son are walking through it.
Yeah.
It's so creepy. Let me put on record, this movie is really creepy.
So that happened. Okay, so then when things start breaking down and his wife realizes that he may not be the person, something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
When Danny comes down and he clearly is sort of catatonic, and he's got a mark on his neck and someone grabbed him. And so she blames him for it. She's like, it was you, you did it again. Right. And yeah, she goes off, she grabs Danny, she goes away. And Jack is kind of...
That's his break. Because that's when he first starts talking to somebody who's not necessarily there. Right?
So is it one of those, like, you're trying so hard and it didn't work, so you just give up completely? Like, I try to keep my car clean. I always have. And then at some point, I'm like, screw it. I'm not trying to keep my car clean anymore.
Okay.
He's loud.
You don't know. I actually care a lot about my car being clean. I want it to look like I'm an Uber driver and it's clean in there. Like that's what I would prefer. But if I can't, then I'm like, screw it. Let it all go.
Yeah.
Just let it go.
I think we all get that point, though, where it's like, fuck it, I know I can't. Oh, sorry for the word.
No.
You know, I can't screw it up more than it's already screwed up.
But here's the thing. This don't look silly. This is a creative scary part. So her fear is that there's someone else in the hotel, is what she said.
Well, so she's Danny says that there woman. Was a crazy woman in the tub. So she's taking it on face value that it would be a physical person.
Right. She shows up later on with the bat. So this is my favorite part, is when she goes down. So he's been riding all this time.
Well, yeah.
She goes down, and it says, all work, no play makes Jack a dull boy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, as far as detail, I want to say, I really appreciated that it doesn't look identical.
No, like, it's structured like someone's writing an actual story.
Yeah, like there's the pages paragraphs, different. Yeah. There's different spacing but and justifications.
But it all says the same thing.
But not all spelled correctly. No. Like, the words are... It's not just a perfect copy of the same sentence. What does it
say? Some of the words are overlaid.
All work and no play means Jack.
He's just typing that over and over again?
Yeah.
So when she goes
fucking
through,
crazy.
It's just...
So Shalia made it what, about 40 minutes into this movie.
Yeah, we are 42 minutes in, and this is further than I made it.
She said, I'm going to bed. I cannot watch this.
No, I didn't say I'm going to bed. I said, I'm terrified. I can't watch anymore. Kendon decided then he was going to sleep, so then I said, well, I guess I'm going to bed.
So I would have
watched some Star Trek or something else.
It's a stack of paper. You would assume he's been writing this whole time, and that's what's on the paper.
This is where
it's like the same.
It's
word
the same
over,
word,
like in typing class.
Over
and he felt twins.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're hitting minute 43 before this. He touches the doorknobs of room 237, and we have another flash of those creepy. Siblings.
Look, so again, if you look, we're 43 minutes in. Sisters. 43 minutes in, and we see Jack working. Now we assume he's working.
Oh, yeah, I didn't get this far.
But yeah, he's...
He's just typing away.
He's typing the same thing. Over and over again.
He still has that creepy face on
him. Well, I mean, maybe he was typing normal at this point, and then he gets into... Like, she goes checks even the very first page.
All of the pages say the same thing.
So, this is the first time we've seen him since he was looking into the maze, right? When I just said he's... We first glimpse of The Shining. So, he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, after looking into that maze and seeing them around, like, that's
the end. No.
This is the breaking point, though.
After she starts accusing him of hurting their son is where I think he snaps, because he goes into the bar, which we know specifically does not have liquor in it.
Yeah.
Because the manager of the hotel, when he was hiring them, explains that they have lower insurance as long as they don't keep liquor on the premises.
Right.
And he orders a drink from a guy who I wanted to point out, this is a connection between Blade Runner. The actor who plays that bartender is the same one who plays Tyrell in Blade Runner.
Oh, wow.
And also very similar to the bartender in Passengers.
Yeah. I bet you that's a purposeful connection.
Same kind of look. The bartender they had on Passengers. You ever saw that movie? Yeah.
Was it made in the 80s?
Who's that? Michael?
No, Passengers recently came out with, what's his name?
Oh.
Jennifer Lawrence and Chris Pratt.
No, the actor who plays it is
Michael Sheen.
Didn't our director from Blade Runner 2049 do Passenger?
No. He did Prisoners.
Prisoners.
Close.
Totally different movie.
Very different.
Totally different movie.
For not having seen either and not knowing what they're about. Similar words.
But I would say, so he starts talking to this bartender as if
he's
crazy.
By minute 45, he's already crazy.
Here's the thing. I don't know if this is crazy. I don't know if this is just his normal.
This is an outburst.
It's an outburst. If he's someone who's an alcoholic and abusive, well, because she doesn't look like she's hasn't seen this before.
She's not totally phased.
It seems like she's already used to it, especially if he's writing and she comes in to interrupt.
Yeah, she looks like she feels like she's in trouble.
Yeah. She sort of just walked away like,
she looks scared to me.
But not.
Yeah, but listen, not.
What is she wearing?
This is judging her outfits. But listen, okay. So, if let's say you yelled at me.
She's literally wearing a potato sack.
Let's say you yelled at me. Let's say you yelled at me all the time, Shalia. You yelled at me all the time. And one day I walk in, you yell at me.
Yep, I'm known for all my yelling.
I'm shook, but you're yelling at me. But if I came in and you were acting crazy and I'd never seen it before, it's a different response than you yelling. And I, her response says, I've been yelled at by him 20 times before.
Yeah.
This is another one of the many times he's yelled at me and been aggressive.
Again, he's susceptible to all of this.
Her view right there was like, I'm used to it. I'm concerned, but I'm used to it.
Right.
But they're still together because he stopped drinking, right? So we know that...
I think they're still
together. He's crazy by now. Now we're 46 minutes and a half in, and his face is crazy
face. He's just staring at his family in the snow. Who's never done that?
He's not quite...
He's never not smiling.
He hasn't broken or being taken over yet. For that view, I feel like... Especially if you've seen, like, any other overtaking of spirits.
Okay, well, please don't look at me ever like that. Any of you, because I will be like, you're crazy.
To be fair, though, honey, I think what's happening is he's probably... The evil, like, the evil of the building is seeping into him now.
Yeah, that view for me was like... He was in between trying to be taken over and not taken over.
Yeah, he's like in the process.
Yeah, he's in the process, yeah.
Sure. He's in transition?
Yes.
All right. So moving forward in the movie, she comes downstairs. Clearly, he's been riding the whole thing. She got the bag. She hits him, knocks him out, drags him to the freezer.
Then we're close to that.
Not that. No,
that's
we're
what
Tim
wants to talk about, though.
So she drags him to the freezer, and she locks him in the freezer.
And guess who lets him out?
Who lets him out?
Grady.
Good old
Grady. But which Grady?
What do you mean?
Grady's dead.
There's two Grady's. This, I believe, is from Wikipedia as well. So there's Charlie Grady, and then there's the other Grady. So when in the interview, when they talk about the previous caretaker, the boss says Grady's first name, the one who like killed his family and his daughters and all that, the axe murderer. The Grady that we meet later, who's like the bellhop or whatever, it's a different first name.
Oh, then this Grady. The guy in the picture at the end might be his ancestor.
Exactly. And so it's like when you say reincarnation. Yeah. It's like there's two Grady's. Now there's two Jack Nicholson's.
Yeah.
And that's where I was bringing that the reincarnation was because something like that. But
totally.
I did forget about that.
Yeah, I think that then it's a spirit or a bloodline being punished for...
Something they did in the 20s.
Well, in the 20s, the 1921 was the first year that this hotel was open, and they built it on native ground, and they say that they might have had to fight some off at the time, like, battled them.
So this is the native... I don't like that at all. Okay, I'm going to jump into this, because why not at this point? I'm really tired, and this is in the 1980s, so fine. Maybe they were the first to be doing this, but the whole, it's an old Indian burial ground. It's an old Indian, like, that doesn't scare me.
That's one
like,
of the...
No, honestly, I'm going to tell you, like, Native American spirit, like, that's not something that scares me.
That's an old movie.
That's because they're not building on their...
It's not malevolent to me. That's like...
Uh-oh, don't look.
It's all right. Thank you.
No, look.
I'm like, that's not the kind of spirit that I'm afraid of. And so this doesn't match for me at all.
Okay, but you're not afraid of them because they're not necessarily hostile to you. If they're hostile to the people who built this hotel, then you should be scared of them. If they're malevolent and out to get you.
Yeah, but why are... I mean, really all they're doing is taking it out on two family members. Right? Like, if this goes through, they're killing Jack Nicholson and his wife and kid.
So it should be terrifying to them.
Yeah. But ultimately, it's not really that big of a deal.
See, I'm missing...
McKenna just gave me a look.
See you, because you're not them.
Yeah, exactly.
The past of what happened before they came through.
Yeah.
This is what the scene on 5026 is showing there. Mm-hmm. Is that.
Because they said that
someone tell me if I can look, but I'm not going to look unless you tell me.
He killed his family with an axe.
Don't show me any empty hallways.
And what do they say? Piled them.
He stacked them up in the room.
Yeah, and that's what the kid is seeing right now was the two twins, and then seeing what had happened to them before they came.
Oh, it's really sad. The kid looks really sad about it.
So first of all, okay. So from a movie,
Tony's not sad.
How did they get such a good performance from this kid?
Yeah,
I like I think the kid's performance is amazing. Jack Nicholson is. And the mother is weird because I think her line readings are terrible and her facial acting is really good.
Rest in peace.
Did she
pass away? She passed last year.
Yeah.
Huh.
No, but the kid's acting is awesome. It's amazing.
Showing
both sides, like his imaginary friend and everything. Showing both sides.
So his toughness and
his weakness. That's how I see it. His imaginary friend is the one that kids
there to protect him
and protect him.
Kind of like Gollum.
Like Gollum.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Gollum, there you go.
So meanwhile, Scatman Crothers is on his way. He realizes something's wrong when he tries to call and check on the family.
At what point?
He can't get through them. Later on. He can't get through. And so he makes his way from Florida, we think, up to check him out.
Yeah. Because he has a connection with the son. The connection with the son is what brings him up.
He's also got to have a connection with the hotel because he works there.
No, I don't think he does. I think he has a connection.
Because the son had a connection with the hotel.
But he already knows that the hotel's evil. Like, a connection with, like, he knows
the people. He got said from the beginning, he's got The Shining too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's got a connection with the kid and the hotel because he feels it.
And there's previous people who have done this. Previous people have done this job, like we mentioned. So I don't think he pops up here every year. He knows that there's danger because of the kid.
It's kind of interesting because, so again, I think, did we already mention that I didn't make it through the movie?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, this is a guess. Tell me if I'm wrong. But the only real danger in this movie is Jack Nicholson.
No.
Okay.
Not?
No.
What's the other danger? Well, I guess something physically touches the child.
Yes.
Jack Nicholson is the
main... Says who? The child?
No. Well, so there is a bruise or some mark on his neck when he goes into the room and sees the woman. Right. You don't know because
we never see the mark that the
wife says that her husband did to him,
but he didn't. But he did. We know where he was.
Where was the wife at the time?
She was off somewhere
else. She did it.
He did not do it.
No, she
did
not
do it. Oh, so this is like Sixth Sense shit. Like, look, you got locked in the attic and you come out with actual scratches. I don't want to look.
Him. No, it's fine. Look, I'm saying that's another mirror. it's another mirror. I hadn't considered that.
Yeah.
So maybe that is it. The mirrors, the double, the reincarnation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But they don't all match and come to the same story, though, right? Incarnation, the mirror, and the devil.
I don't know anything about the devil. What does the devil
have to do with this? We keep seeing double.
You're saying double or devil?
I'm saying double.
Double is okay.
We keep seeing double.
The girls, the sisters.
It represents.
They're not twins, but they are doubling each other. They dress alike.
Remember those old double knit commercials? Were those from the 80s?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Do you remember? Was it. Someone did a video of double knit, and I want to say it was Chris Brown.
Oh, God.
Chris? Double knit gum. He did a video. Okay, so we have talked a lot about the plot and the characters, but let's talk about the location. So Kenan already mentioned this takes place in Colorado Rockies. A lot of it was filmed in just a set, is my understanding. But like part of the interesting and like creepy that's supposed to like mess with your mind stuff is the way that the hotel doesn't make any sense. Like, walking through it, you guys are all looking at me. Do you know about this conversation, right? Like, walking through it, there's no way that that ballroom fits in this structure. There's no way there's windows in this room. There's no way. Like, the whole thing is just, it doesn't work. It's not possible, and it's, like, meant to be that way.
I was wondering if this is one of those movies where it's like, this place is actually purgatory or something like that.
Ooh.
But I don't know, with Scatman's character like clearly existing in the outside
maybe
world.
Maybe he's an angel.
The magical Negro.
Yeah. He can appear.
I don't necessarily mean like a Christian purgatory, but just kind of like...
A purgatory.
A purgatory of sorts.
Maybe he's the conscience.
Well, how do they get out?
We don't know that they do. That's the thing. We see them go off in at the very end of the movie. They manage to escape Jack. This is Danny and the mother. They manage to escape in a snowcat, but all we see them do is go over a hill, and then we see Jack frozen. So I don't know whether they escape or not.
Mm. In the book, they escape, and in the book, Scatman is still alive.
And yeah, but in movies, them. The black guy's gotta die. Right?
Is he black in the book?
I don't know. We're watching the movie, though.
Oh, we haven't read the book.
That's fine in the book.
Okay. I'm asking, which, like, honestly.
I'm just going to say, they casually throw out the word nigger a couple of times.
Oh, yeah.
Really? Like, to who?
The nigger.
So.
Who says that? In the 40 minutes that I watched, I didn't hear any of that.
All right, so Jack is steadily seeing things, like, almost fleshed out, piece by piece, becoming the 1920s. So it starts with him just talking to the bartender.
Right.
And then
the Royal Temple.
The ballroom starts filling up with people, and he meets the first version of the guy. What was his last name?
Grady.
Grady. He meets the first version of Grady, and he's like, "Oh, you were the groundskeeper here." And he's like, "No, I wasn't." But then he starts talking to him about having to correct his daughters and his wife,
mm-hmm.
right? And he's basically trying to get, Jack to get on the problem or whatever, which is basically to kill his wife and his son.
Mm-hmm.
So what he is saying is that the son is trying to get somebody else from the outside involved, which is referring to the son being in contact with Scatman's character through their telepathy.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, yes, he's trying to bring in somebody from the outside, a nigger.
The cook.
A nigger cook.
Yeah.
So he just throws that out. I was like, oh, okay.
But it makes sense that someone from 1920s would say that.
Yeah, yeah. It took me off.
You're like,
How long has he been the cook there?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. He could be the cook for one day. The point is that the guy knows what he is.
Mm-hmm. To have it.
Yeah, so he could be a cook. He could. It doesn't matter how long he was the cook. It's the fact that the building knows what he is.
Sorry, my point is, so just as the building has these like evil spirits that have been around since the 20s, probably, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. Like, he's clearly magical Negro, been around, been the cook. We don't know if he's been there since the 20s. Have we looked at the pictures to make sure he's not in there?
No.
Are you sure?
He's been there since the 20s. No.
How long has he been there? Like, is he?
The cook?
Yeah.
No.
He could have been there for 30 years.
He worked there.
Yeah. I know. He worked there.
What are you trying to understand?
I'm trying to think that maybe he's been around a lot longer because he has a good understanding of what's going on.
It's the
I don't think he does. Yeah. I think The Shining allows him to feel what the build, like that there's something wrong with the building.
Right.
But he is not trapped in this cycle or loop or whatever's going on here.
No. Yeah, he's not trapped in whatever's happening. I mean, he's aware that something's happening.
Nor are the other people who work there.
59, literally an hour in. If you ever find me doing that, like just drooling and freaking out, take me to a doctor.
She tries. She wants to.
They're stuck on this mountain.
We put on our snowshoes and we walk.
In the future, you got to watch the whole movie.
We walk. We walk out of there.
No.
Yes.
No.
We put our food in our backpacks and we get out.
Shalia,
you don't leave me like that.
I tried to take you on a hike to Tiger Mountain. Like, you're not walking out of this.
I hiked a glacier this month.
It was flat and there wasn't snow on it.
There's like, okay.
And it wasn't even cold.
So what you, maybe parts you've missed because it's a terrifying movie for you, is that they're stuck on this mountain and there's so much snow. That's why they don't ski because it's too much.
It covers up the road to the degree that it wouldn't be a good ski resort. No. So it means that the only way out is the snowcat.
Which is why he
disables the snowcat and the radio. This is something Jack does as he starts to go crazy. He's taking out their ability to escape.
What does he tell her? She says we're going to leave and he's like, good luck with that.
That's like ultimate DV isolation.
Yes. So that's the thing. This movie is just on a basic level, a terrifying story about domestic abuse and violence.
Yeah.
Which makes sense because she's making excuses for him from the very beginning.
Okay, so we're where the mother was cooking. We know Jack was having a bad dream. And then this is what happens. Actually, if you look at a minute, an hour and a minute in, you see that mark on his neck. Someone put a mark on his neck. Someone grabbed him.
Not himself?
No. Well, no, that's what Jack claims. Yeah. He's like, okay. So, Danny says that he saw a crazy woman in the bathtub in the room that he wasn't supposed to go into.
That's just an hour in just now?
Yeah, but we never see him have this conversation with his mom, though. She just comes down hysterical.
He's lying. We've been with him. He didn't go into that room and see a woman in the tub.
Can we pause this, please? Yeah. Okay. So, Danny comes down with a mark on his neck. He says that in the room that he wasn't supposed to go into, was it 237? 237, that there was a crazy woman in the bathroom or in the bathtub and she reached out and grabbed him. He has marks on his neck, but we're pretty sure that it was not Jack because we have seen where he's been. So Jack's saying, Jack goes to check out the room later on and he's going to see this woman. My question is, do either of you guys know why it's a young woman to begin with and then an old woman later?
I don't know.
Because I thought it was supposed to be the wife of the previous
character. I thought so too, yeah.
But also, she's not killed with an axe.
No.
No, she's not.
She's got like boils and stuff on her.
So maybe she's from the 20s, Grady killed.
We don't know.
Maybe he killed her back
naked.
In the 20s.
She's naked and there's no...
And old and gross. Like, icky.
So he
not initially, though.
Not initially, no.
He sees her after he's gone to get some drinks.
Right.
Sorry. I just want to interrupt. This always makes me laugh, because this is from it's not from the 80s, but Family Guy scene.
Yes.
A minute and four, or no, an hour and 4 minutes
in. This is what Kinder brought up earlier, when he goes to the bar, and there's clearly no liquor there, and then randomly this guy shows up and starts serving him liquor. But what should strike you as odd is that none of this takes Jack by surprise. He seems to be intrigued with all of these interactions that are happening.
Well, he's talking to him like he knows him.
Yes.
Right.
Oh, because it's in his head.
It's in his head. He's now schizophrenic. He seems like everything is normal.
But at this point, you don't know that he's not like imagining somebody he's met like in the outside world versus he's being pulled into the world of this hotel. So the way he was talking to him, I was like, oh, is this his bartender from...
Yeah, from back home.
From when he was an alcoholic. But no, he's being pulled into the projections of this building.
I mean, what are the chances that his bartender wore that outfit back home? I haven't ever seen a bartender dressed like that.
I don't go to classy places like that. I wouldn't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't.
But that's a good point, though, right?
I think that's special to the hotel.
It's not it is, and we find that out later. I'm just saying, as he was talking, it's just getting an understanding that he's being pulled in.
Yeah, he's just getting pulled in and sucked into what the hotel is.
And it layers, which is cool. It starts off with just one person, and then it starts being more and more people, whole party.
It's like a party.
And he always is comfortable with it.
Yeah.
Like he belongs there.
Right here, like he's got no money. He's like, oh, you know, don't worry about it.
It's on the house.
It's on the house.
Yeah, your money's no good here.
Yeah. You could have just said, I'll charge to the room. You're in a hotel.
That's actually what they say. They say what the management took care of it or something like that. But it's not there, right?
None of this is actually happening.
But since there's magic or something going on, is he getting intoxicated anyways?
Why do we think magic's happening? Sorry, okay. So, I'm sorry. Kenan's like rubbing his face, like shaking his head. So, here's my question.
There's something
everything that we okay, here. So I think it was Ebert that like in his description where he was just like everything that we see is through no one who's credible. We see things through Jack, who's not credible because he could be making up everything. We see it through Danny, who's not credible because he could like also be making up everything in his head, and then Wendy as well. So
why is she not credible?
I don't know. That was what I was gonna ask you guys, but I don't know.
Maybe she's supposed to be credible.
Yeah, maybe
she's with two crazies. Yeah,
right.
So I like he could like if we walked into this scene, we're now a minute and seven or hour and 7 minutes in. We walked into this scene and all this crazy stuff is happening. Like it could just be these guys going crazy.
Okay, but after he's dead, we see a picture of him in 1921. What's the explanation for that? Unless that's a straight up lie from the movie maker.
Right. And also,
the hotel's evil.
The hotel is evil.
Yeah. And she's not going crazy. She sees the craziest stuff. Yeah. She sees the blood coming down the hallway. She sees the guy in the bear suit giving the dude a blowjob.
Yeah, that was weird.
She sees the crazy stuff.
Yeah.
More than anybody.
So, we've already said this before. I didn't make it through the movie. Does that really happen?
Yeah.
What? We have blowjobs happening?
No, I mean, it's not like a... He's like bent over. You know what's happening.
From now on, you have to watch the movie.
Yeah,
I don't know how to explain her facial. She's very incredulous right now. Yes. So she sees in a room somebody whose face was in a lap lifting up, and it has like a bear mask on. Right?
It's a bear costume. It's a full bear costume.
It's a furry.
Yes.
Exactly. It's a furry
going down on somebody.
On the guy. Yeah, it's the guy. It's the caretaker dude, the older guy.
Yeah.
And it's tuxedo.
This movie is crazy. This movie is really crazy.
You gotta be really, but you gotta actually see every single detail and different views on this movie. That's what makes it so great. That's why I like it, because there's so many views on it. It's not just one view. There's so many possible views you can see, from spiritual, from possession, from
mental illness,
from mental illness,
domestic violence.
Like, it all depends on how you see it, how every single person sees it. That's what I love.
But I'll say, when I watch this, I see her as credible.
Yeah,
I think she's normal in a crazy world.
But the thing is, she still gets caught up on the scene, on the building site, though. Because she sees those things.
Because the building is evil, and I think there's real supernatural things happening.
The evil still gets into her in a way, even though she's so kind, so good.
She just gets affected by it.
Yeah, even now, she's there, and there's no liquor. And
there's no person there. Right.
There's no one else in there.
Do you guys realize that I'm actually watching this movie with you right now?
I don't think you should.
Like, we are a good 20 minutes past where I left off.
Huh?
Are you telling me we should stop? Should we pause it and, like, just keep recording without watching the rest of it?
No, that's not what I'm saying. It's a difficult conversation having to, you see, we can download, I guess.
Don't download. We're fine. It's okay.
Yeah, there are no subtitles.
Okay.
That news report is crazy.
Kenan, what are you doing?
No, still there.
It is, but we're going to have to start all over. Tinkle pad?
We're an hour in, an hour.
Anyone need to? Okay, so while we... No, we're good.
Yeah,
we're a few minutes behind.
Okay.
Maybe, can we, like, move over to Tim? Like,
are you firing me?
Yeah.
Well, okay, fine.
You can't guide the conversation if you haven't seen it.
No, it's quite all right.
I think we're doing okay.
It's going to take a lot of editing for this not to be tedious.
I think we're okay.
What's next on your list?
So we were just on, she's got her baseball bat. Why is she, okay, after all of this, I don't understand, one, where she got the baseball bat and why she's carrying a baseball bat.
She's carrying a baseball bat because she's scared.
Of who?
Daddy says some other woman's in the hotel room. And it's supposed to be there.
There's nobody else, just them.
And she is really skinny, so she has to carry like a weapon.
Even if she wasn't skinny.
Yeah.
Even if she wasn't skinny, right? You're there alone. You've been there alone for what? It's been like almost 2 months they've been there? A month?
I don't know.
Because
it doesn't take that long. Shorter,
there's a time that says a month later. So they've been there for a while. And there's no one else on the mountain. And then...
The passage is closed because of the snow.
So your son says, this woman, he has a visible mark on his neck, and says, this crazy woman was in a room and she grabbed me. And so she grabs a bat.
There's no other weapons. What else are you going to grab? Not a bat.
Yeah.
Knives.
It says,
her point of view is a bat is better than a knife.
Yeah.
Bat has more, you know, width.
Arm length?
Arm length.
It's also bad in close quarters.
Like,
she should take both.
Yes. Ken has got his
for the record, Manny is stretching out his arms and showing how a bat could go that much further.
Yeah, because I mean, a knife, you gotta be like up close to actually stab somebody.
Yeah,
bat.
We don't have any.
Way more
a knife does a lot more damage.
We don't have any guns in this, do we?
No.
Huh.
No. Apparently, they don't have any.
1980? That's weird.
Why?
Because in Star Trek, they have lasers. You would think.
Well, here's the thing. The last caretaker shot himself with a shotgun, so it was probably why there's no more guns on the premises.
Yeah, Jack Nicholson didn't bring one.
There might be guns. It's just that they don't come into the story.
Fair.
And plus,
fair point.
It's what, a reserve place and everything where they don't have any safety issues like that.
No, they have I'm sure they have bears or other wildlife. That's why there would be a shotgun.
People have guns for recreation, not just safety.
Yeah. But the thing is that this story is...
Mere.
Is him... He fails to do what the previous guy does. That's why this movie, I guess, is happier or whatever, because the family gets away. The previous caretaker murdered his family and then shot himself through the head. In this case, Jack dies at the end, but his family, we believe, gets away. So it ends differently than the previous time that somebody went crazy.
Why do you think that's a failure?
It's his fail. He fails to kill them. That this building wants him to kill his family.
Why?
Same story as the past.
The same story as the past.
Just repeating it?
Yes.
It repeats itself.
From 10 years ago?
Yes.
Yes.
Did something like this happen in 1920? Or 21, 22,
23, 24, 25? I don't know.
In 1920, didn't happen. It didn't happen then. That was the initiation. That was the initial, let's say, insult against the spirits or whatever, was them building this here on a burial ground.
Yeah. But it just seems like, for instance, the 20s, if I were a spirit, I would try to make this happen a lot more than like 50 years later and then another 10 years later, like only twice in 60 years.
We don't even know if it's twice. We know those two incidents.
We don't know the whole story.
We just know that.
We know of one other situation that is relevant to his situation.
I don't know if that creates a pattern.
But the thing is, there could have been all other sorts of things that have happened. We're just talking about one other instance where a caretaker over the over the winter goes crazy and kills his family. Now they could be taking revenge other types of ways.
We don't know what other evil stuff this building has.
Yeah,
that happened back in the days that might be reincarnated or reenacted to it.
In fact,
or retaken over.
The woman who's dead in the tub.
I mean, we don't know what happened to her. Way. Yeah, we don't know what happened to her. There's different theories or different stories that might happen. It all depends on the person that moves in and is the caretaker.
No, it doesn't even have to be the caretaker.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're there and it's like, oh, you relate to whatever happened to this history.
Yeah.
Now you're going to reenact or reincarnate that action. On the tub, the twins, or what he's going through.
Can I ask you guys a question? Is there any way that this happens like year round, or does this only happen when people
That's exactly what I'm saying. I think
it happens year round, but it all depends on the person that's there.
Yeah.
And depending on how whoever died in that building
relates to it. Why is fate choosing X person to be punished?
Right.
Mm. I wanted to say one last thing though. Like you said, it could have been just the difference that he failed on it and the wife and the son got away. Mm-hmm. And the possibility of why was, like we said, you know, the black guy might be an angel.
Or yes.
Taking care of it and he got killed. And previously he might not have gotten killed, which made everybody else fulfill the whole destiny of killing his whole family. But now that he got killed,
It might be more game simple changer. Than that. It's just the fact that the kid also has the Shining. Maybe just previous kids didn't have the Shining, and the Shining, that connection between him and Scatman's character allowed him to escape.
I assumed all of the ghosts had the shiny. Just who had the shiny? Of the people in this, who have the shiny? Danny?
And the dad, the right.
Jack.
Yeah.
Scatman.
This is it.
The Not person that. Who Scatman references. What is his grandma that they used to have full conversations?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So one of the things that maybe you guys can help with this, when she asks him what he saw in room 237, he lies to her.
Why?
I don't know why he lies.
I think it's mostly because he doesn't want to scare her.
He was scared?
Yeah.
Or admit that he was making out with another woman.
That too. I mean,
I think he's on the same page with the building now. He's working on its agenda.
To try to murder them.
Yes.
Is there a possibility that the woman in room 237 was the caretaker from 10 years ago was like his mistress, and so it's like he killed her and then killed his family and then himself?
No, I don't think so.
I don't know.
Because she's like a weird, random, like just being.
I think she's a projection from the hotel.
But why that room? Why does that matter?
You know, the first scene, the first action, or the first murder that ever happened on there. But I think on this scene right here, it's when he lies to her, I think it's more because he doesn't want to concern her more.
Yeah.
I mean, he's also scared. He's not in a way that he's 100% possessed already.
Mm-hmm. You still think he's in transition?
Yeah, he's still in a little transition. Oh. He's still scared after what he saw. Because if he would have been 100% possessed, he wouldn't have seen the mirror reflection of it. He wouldn't have seen that it wasn't the young woman he was kissing.
Right, and he like reacted to it.
He reacted to it, yeah. And he ran scared.
Mm-hmm.
I think on this scene right here, he's still scared, and he doesn't want to scare her more than what it's already gone.
That's fair.
You know, so I don't think he's fully controlled. I think he's 50-50.
Does he ever make it to where he's 100%?
No, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
He goes 110%.
We get there eventually.
We're at 70% right now.
And
right there, he's so
blood
ready.
Is rushing.
He's already going towards it because she's fighting for it.
Yeah.
You know, but
he's essentially blaming her for everything that's happening.
Yes.
At this point.
He started going into 50-50, and then the rage just stroke up, and that's where possession, if you go for mythical or, you know, how should I say it? Spiritual way. You know, once you get anger and reasons to actually get possessed for it, it's going to take over.
Yes.
You know.
I forgot about this.
So there was a reason for the spiritual or the demon to take over. Because he got angry about it. Mm-hmm. That's where you see different points, different views of spiritual, demon-wise, and, you know, mentality, psychopath, or whatever you want to call it.
And this is what Kenan was talking about. So he goes back downstairs and he hears some music, and it's clearly something going on in this hotel. It's a party. It's a big old party.
Balloons, screamers. What kind of party?
It's a 4th of July party.
Yeah.
So usually when people are there at the hotel, 4th of July party.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
That's an on
the picture that season. You see him in at the end is the 1921 4th of July party. That's what the picture is.
And you think that the balloons and everything, that's like a living memory of that party back in 1921, 4th of July?
Man, this movie would be so different with cell phones.
All horror movies would be, unless they are cell phone based.
It would be so different without cell phones.
No, I don't know, right? Because
reception man, it's dead. Reception. I forgot to charge it, or it turns out I didn't plug it in, or in Get Out where it's not plugged. I charge my phone, but it's not.
The resort in the mountain there's lots of cell phones that will not get reception.
Yeah, totally.
You have to go to pick up the mountain. Yeah.
All right. So what other questions do you have for us?
So other questions I have for you. Let's see here. What do we got? We talked about the two Gradys. We talked about haunted versus absorbs bad energy. Did we talk about how he has a choice versus choosing to do one thing or another, and he has choices throughout? How is it ironic that he says he just wants 5 months of peace? And, that's not what he gets.
No.
He doesn't want peace. No. It turns out, he wants more than that. And as a writer, he probably needs more than that.
Yeah. Way more.
Yeah.
I don't know. Not Stephen King. Stephen King knocks out books in a weekend.
Okay, so that's something. Do you know? I think this might also be from Wikipedia. Do you know that this book was written as an autobiography a bit? Like, when Stephen King was writing the novel, he was having trouble with alcoholism and hate towards his family for no reason. So he wrote Jack as himself and, how he was feeling. And it wasn't deserved hate towards his family. That's just how he was feeling. And he was having difficulty with alcoholism. So that's why in the book, Jack has a little bit more... sympathetic character versus in the movie where he's just from the beginning you're like, oh yeah, you're gonna be kind of you're bad news, dude. So this is Stephen King written by himself a bit. So Kendon, we just saw a scene where Scatman is on the phone with I think closest law enforcement or police or rangers or
fire.
Something
fire
to Yeah, to the Overlook Hotel. But you had said something that was interesting to you about the room itself that he is staying in Florida, Scatman's room.
I thought it was his own home.
Yeah.
And his own home, it's just, there's a picture of a black naked woman above his headboard of his bed and also above the TV directly opposite of that first picture.
Yeah. And what did you think was interesting about that?
I don't know about interesting. I thought it was cool.
Okay. Manny, do you have anything else to say about these creepy sisters?
I think they're all creepy.
They're so creepy.
Yes.
There's not much more than creepy kids.
The way they show up and everything, how they want to show up like they're twins, but they're not. Now that you brought up the mirror view, it just gave me a whole different view of it. How they're trying to show two views. And I think the two views are the good and the bad. And how in this concept of the movie is the father being the bad and the son being the good.
What did you think before?
At first, I thought they were twins.
Yeah, they're really dressed exactly alike.
They're dressed the same. They almost have the same hairstyle and everything. I thought they were just twins. Meaning, warning. Straight out good for the kid, because they only show up with the kid.
Okay.
And I saw it more as just letting the kid know this is what happened. This is what happened before you guys came here. It's a warning to you. Let your parents know to get out soon. But now that you brought out the mirror, you made me feel like there's two different sides to it. Warning him there's a bad and an evil inside the building.
Yeah.
So, the cook, Scatman's character, says that there are people who have the shine, which is the psychic abilities that he and Danny share. He also says that there are places that have it. And this is a place that has the shine.
Yeah.
Yeah, but think about it now. Now that I've heard everybody's viewings and heard everybody else think about it, it's like, what's really the shiny now? There must be two types of shining, the bad shining and the good shining.
No, I think there's right. only one shining. It's just the character, or it's the character of the, or it's what's being, the shining is just an ability. What you push through that ability can be good or bad. And it says, he says that the place retains memories. Not all of them are good memories.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, because he, like, his description of his experience with the Shining is with his grandma. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. His grandmother, yeah.
Yeah, them just talking. So that's not, like, negative at all. There's just, like, communicating with your loved one. So, yeah, you're right. Like, it doesn't have to be good or bad, but there's both.
So you think the room that they told him not to go in was the bad shining?
It was a bad memory.
Bad memory, which is the bad shining. Where if you go in there, you're going to see the bad memory.
I just think of the shining as a concept itself as neutral. It's just, it's telepathy, it's psychic abilities. You know, if this building has its own psyche, it's got negative and positive memories, and the worst memories are going to be murders, and those are things that are being shown to people who are sensitive to the shining.
So would you say shining will be like a spiritual, if you go like religious way?
Well,
a shining would be a religious way or a demon way. Of saying if you're weak, you're going to get control of a demon if you go to that.
I think it's like the force, almost. Like, think of the force. The force is a thing, right?
Going to the force.
Yeah. It's but there's, I guess there's aspects of it, and it's more, it's influenced based off of how you behave or what your character is, but it's a neutral thing in and of itself.
The thing that happens is,
because like Scatman's character and his grandmother have the shining, and they're off, you know, he's growing up wherever, but they're not existing within a building that has negative psychic energy on top of it. So somebody who has the shining can tap into and experience the energy of this place. This place has a lot of negative energy. It's like a nexus for psychic energy.
So what would you really describe as shining being?
Telepathy.
So
yeah, psychic ability.
Yeah, just having that ability. You have it. It's an interesting word to use for it. Shining.
Shining, mm-hmm. Yeah. Because, I mean, you can interpret it two different ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, this is just what I'm gathering from watching the movie. Yeah. I mean, there definitely is going to be more than one interpretation.
So,
could it also just be the light to whatever you see?
Shining a light on things, you see it, right? Like, if things are in the dark, you don't necessarily see it, but you shine on it, and you're like, oh, now I see you.
Yeah, it's whatever belief you have, whatever way you see life.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to shine it to the way you see it.
Make it brighter for you so you can see it more vividly.
I took the term for it to mean that you're special. Like you shine, you stand out from like you have some special ability. Because, you know, it's the grandmother who calls it the shining. It's not like a technical term. It's just what she calls it, which is maybe because, you know, her grandmother or her, you know, the people she grew up with knew about it and had a term for it. But it does. We're not necessarily going to say that it means something very specific. Sure. And it's that good. No.
So right now we've got the mom just pacing the floor with her cigarette, just talking to herself, really scared. Again in a, what is it, a potato sack outfit. Oh, she's in the same overalls as she's been in. I shouldn't hate on that. So in the very beginning of the movie, when we're introduced to her and Danny, they're at the kitchen table eating sandwiches, and she's sitting there smoking, reading Catcher in the Rye. Catcher in the Rye is a pretty like specific book for her to be reading. I mean, that's what usually serial killers have in their apartments. Do you guys have, was there any reason for that? Like, is there, do we know? It's like, why is she reading Catch from the Rye? It's like, I mean, other than just foreshadowing, like, shit's going to happen. I don't think that was a mistake that they had that in there. Okay, so, Manny, you, I think, told us what your favorite thing about this movie is. Do you have anything to add to that?
Not really. I think it's just the aspect of everything, just how you just got different views of it.
Okay. Kenan, what's your favorite thing about this movie?
I think Danny's performance is a pretty impressive feat. Whoever was able to get that performance out of the kid, and the kid's ability to do it very convincingly, I think is very impressive.
Do we know what happened to him? Has he been anything else?
I think he's a gym teacher now.
Huh. Cool. So your favorite part was Danny?
Yeah.
Tim, what's your favorite thing about this movie?
Probably... when Jack starts to really lose it. Like, it's kind of an avalanche of crazy that happens. Yeah. It just comes out of nowhere. That's probably my favorite part.
We've been watching so far, and like as Manny says, we're in transition, like he's getting there, but at some point you just see
full-blown crazy Jack. Yeah.
The quotes are amazing, right? Like, so we already talked about the all work, no play makes Jack a dull boy, and then here's Johnny.
Yeah,
a lot of good gifts made from this.
That's the best, and I think everybody knows about that part. Here's Johnny.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh, I want to say, the actor who plays Danny, his name is Dan Lloyd. He became a pig farmer and a science teacher.
That's terrifying.
Why?
Because pigs eat dead bodies.
No, I mean, not everything.
If you feed a dead body.
Vultures aren't terrifying.
Yeah, but pig farmers are. If you farm pigs, it means you have dead bodies.
That's just what Snatch says. And Hannibal. That happens in Hannibal, the movie Hannibal, right?
Yeah. It does.
That's enough to be scared.
Yeah, but if you have a wolf farm, you can get rid of dead bodies too.
No, wolves don't eat bones like pigs do.
Oh, pigs do eat everything from bones to hair to nails.
Exactly. If you have a pig farm, you're suspicious as fuck. I'm not trying to go
there. You're as good as having sharks right on your tongue.
Right?
Yeah. Pigs and sharks are the most suspicious thing you can have on you. You can get away with any murder. Pigs will eat anything. Sharks
will eat anything. I don't know about sharks, man. I mean, you know, they have to have a big ass tank and all that other stuff.
Or just have right, exactly. Behind so you,
which leaves that means residue.
That and that leaves pig farmers, creepy, scary people.
Yeah, crocodiles, sharks.
Pig farmers are the heroes of our civilization. I love bacon and I love ham. I also love sausage.
You don't know what they're feeding me.
Nope. I don't want
you could be a cannibal.
You could be a narco.
If you eat an animal that ate a human, are you a cannibal?
No. Next question.
Is it next?
Mm. Okay. So, do you guys want to know what my favorite thing about this movie is?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Of your first 40 minutes of the movie?
I'm watching. We are very into this movie. I've been watching it. This all counts.
Except for the scary part.
This all counts. We only have a little over half an hour left. I've watched this movie. 20 minutes plus 20 minutes is 40 minutes. About half an hour.
45 minutes. It says in the corner, remaining 45 minutes.
So, my favorite thing about this movie is not something that I like, but it's something that I respect and think was really good about it. Like, I give major kudos, and also I hate it so much. We talked about it a little bit earlier, but it's the cinematography. It's the camera. the way it follows your over your shoulder, that is what got me. Like, I couldn't make it more than 40 minutes in knowing that this is a scary movie, because I'm watching this little kid on this little bike, like, riding through these hallways, and that should not be scary, but it's fucking terrifying. And, like, the camera following you, so, like, whatever he sees, I'm going to see. So when he turns a corner, I don't know what's on the other side of that corner. It's extremely effective and really, 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 really scary. So that is, I think, the thing that I would point to as the best part about this movie. There are a lot of great things about this movie and how it's made. I think it deserves a lot of praise, but that was my favorite thing. You
know, my favorite scene is similar to what you're talking about, and that's at the end, Jack chases Danny through the hedge maze.
Yes.
And it's claustrophobic, it's dark,
scary, cold,
and it's the angle, I think, gets across that from a child's point of view, it's even taller. And the walls of the maze are even taller. It's a very like tension filled scene. I think really well done.
Yeah. So scary. I don't like mazes. I don't like hard mazes. I don't want to go in this hedge maze.
It was one of the best scenes in there too.
Yeah.
Other than the blood running through the hallway.
But that's just maze, that image is so is, yes. Of the blood is so like powerful. Can I don't know what it means.
All I know is a warning, but the mace is really good though. I mean, I've been afraid of maces because of that. That's serious. Like, I go to the, you know, pumpkin patch.
Yeah, maze, and there's the corn maze. You won't go?
F that. I'll go if all you guys go with me. I'm not going there alone. Like, yes.
Only in the daytime. I was like with those, they're like, I'll you can't go in after a certain time because you like it gets dark. I'll no, never go thank
the
you.
In the nighttime. No,
thanks. Nope.
Give me $1 billion. You can take that back with you.
Agreed.
I'm home.
Okay, so this movie, 1980 release, it seems pretty consistently on like the top of the lists for horror, like all time horror. Done really, really well. Well, let's talk about how, if at all, it's impacted our lives as people who were like coming, not coming of age, but like becoming people literally during this time. Has it impacted you at all?
Probably several hundred references that I never understood, that having never watched the movie.
And now you understand them because you saw it this week?
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Tim?
Oh, absolutely. Everyone's copied it from, like he said, like from Family Guy to whoever, from different lines. It's a great movie. It's a good look at a horror film.
The Simpsons had some really good ones.
Right. Oh, and it's for its time, one of those movies that moved away from the mascot horror of a guy in a mask killing people for slasher films. This is more of a smarter, edgier film about.
Isn't this before the slasher thing? Though?
Before that.
Yeah.
It's a psychological thriller.
No, it's a movie that brought up like one of the edges, and people adapted to it and perfected it.
Mm-hmm.
And actually made it better. From what they actually came up with. And I think that's one of the reasons why I like this movie, is because he made it kind of original to its own, and then people just adapted to it and made it better.
You think they made it better?
Oh.
A lot of the movies, I think this movie stands out above a lot of the movies I would think take influence from it.
Yes, but like you said, how many awards has it won?
See,
even though it's one of the best ones, but people adapted it and perfected it and got an award
for
it.
I think this just wasn't appreciated at its time. Just like Blade Runner. Yeah. Like this, it does not, I don't think it works on your first viewing. I don't think it works coming out of the theater being like a crowd pleaser the way Star Wars was.
Right.
I think this, I see why you say they refined it, you know, they've made changes. I don't know that they perfected it necessarily. I think this movie stands head and shoulders above a lot of movies I've seen. A lot of movies I've seen in the genre are influenced by.
Nothing but the same writing over and over and over again.
Oh, speaking of writing in mirrors, the Red Rum thing, that's all about mirrors. Right? Because Red Rum is murder backwards.
Oh, yes.
And the kid doesn't know that. So he's always writing Red Rum.
I was going to bring that up.
Yeah. The mother sees it through the mirror and then sees.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, she has a mom waking up and being like, ah!
But the question everybody has asked before was, how did the kid know Red Rum?
The house.
Did he see it on a mirror spelled Red Rum?
Because
he didn't see it the other way, like the other mirror did, like the person that wrote it for him.
Yeah, because he's like copying
instead of saying murder.
Right.
He saw
the other view, which is the other, like
the mirror
dimension, like people would say in other words, different dimensions, different worlds.
Well, when you look at the way he writes it with the R backwards and stuff like that. So he's like just copying what he saw, as opposed to spelling murder backwards, in which you would spell, you'd have the R's in the correct orientation and all of that.
Can we just say how scared I am right now? Like, this shit is fucking scary.
Okay.
That's all.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Twins.
The whole thing. I don't know how far we are into this, but like, I'm starting to like,
You gotta see the ending though.
Rock, because I'm so scared.
His smile just kills it.
Did he mean to do this? Like, was he planning this the whole time? I'm gonna isolate my wife and kid that I already tried to hurt.
No, the building drew him in.
Yeah.
The evilness.
The building picked him.
The building wants. The building wants to punish him.
Yeah.
The building is drawing him in.
Basically, the only evil that's out there, it's in the building. Once you come in the building, it's gonna, in a way, find out how to get
it. Preys on you. It preys on you. It turns you into a monster.
It's almost it's almost like the new days that they did the those movies.
It's okay.
The movies that actually show where people actually are living in the house and they get taken over for
possession.
The possessions, yeah.
Like the Poltergeist? Poltergeist?
There's another one. Let's just say possession. You know, they actually just straight up possess whoever goes into that building.
They just took him over.
Yeah, he just takes him over. It doesn't matter what life cycle you've had, it's just going to possess you. It's going to find a way to control you.
So, Jack Nicholson, we talked about this a little earlier, like with casting decisions. He sells it on this. Like, maybe in the beginning you're like, okay, yeah, he's bad news from the beginning, but by the end, like, he is in this character and just crazy, right? Like, do we all agree he's amazing this?
Yeah.
After Heath Ledger played the Joker, I remember some kind of interview or statement from Jack Nicholson, and he was commented on, like, when he was playing the Joker, it got to him. Like, that's the kind of character, that's the kind of role that, like, when you're in it, like, it gets to you.
Right.
And I think that's even more potent now watching this again and seeing, I say again because I've seen parts of it before. but The Shining, I mean, that's 1980, Jack Nicholson in it. Like, if this didn't get to him, but playing the Joker did, that says something about that role and the character of the Joker. Because this is pretty fucking intense. Am I, like, as far as I can feel? Do you got any thoughts on that?
I think this is a more intense performance, yeah.
Yeah.
But
it didn't get to him.
The mind space that he created to be the Joker versus the performance. What came out on the other end this is crazier than the Joker. Getting in that mind space to play the Joker might have affected him more than this. That it's just interesting that he would say that.
Yeah.
Maybe this was worse than, because you said it was after Heath Ledger died, right? So his answer to a question might be in regards to that. It might not mean that being the Joker, him playing the Joker was more, affected his psyche more than this.
Yeah, so one of the mottos, mm-hmm. right, Kendon, that you used for me is trust but verify. The first time I heard him talk about it was after Heath Ledger died. I don't know that that was when he said it or not. It's just what I, like, that's what it means to me and what I remember. Okay, so Kendon, you're my husband, so you could probably speak to this. At what point do you try to, like, you stop trying to save your mentally ill partner that you love, and you try to freeze them in a freezer because you think they're crazy?
This isn't a freezer. This is a pantry.
Mm-hmm. Just a pantry. Okay.
So she's not trying to hurt him right now. She's just like, I'm going to lock you in here, and you're going to be in here where you can't hurt us.
Yeah, and if it wasn't for the fact that there's supernatural stuff happening, which, that's something that, it doesn't make sense that everybody is unreliable, because this door opens one way or another. She doesn't open it, and unless the kid opened it, there's magic, there's supernatural stuff happening. And she locks him in a pantry full of food. This is when you leave. You leave, he'll be fine, you come back with reinforcements.
Maybe she didn't actually lock it.
She did. She locked it and latched it.
But eventually, if she doesn't come back in time, depending on the snow, though, there's no windows in there. There's no way to do that, obviously.
Oh,
it's not steel tight.
It's not airtight.
Yeah, I don't think it's airtight. And he's got a lot of food in there.
Yes.
Also, he's trying to kill her, so, I mean.
I mean, there's that.
Yeah, go get help now.
No, but how would she get help, though? All roads are closed with snow in.
Shit. I mean, you're not wrong.
But the answer, as my husband, is when you try to kill me, I can lock you in a pantry.
Yeah.
And hope you survive.
Yeah, no. As soon as
there's no bad spirits out there.
As soon as I start swinging at you, get the fuck out. Also, I don't swing at you. Let's get that on the record.
Yes.
You don't plan to. It's also why we live in a neighborhood with neighbors nearby.
Wait, not because of me.
No, just in general. Anything that could happen. I like neighbors who can hear me. She's very mousy. We talked about that earlier. Like, an interesting casting decision for her.
Yeah.
Well, she shows that she loves her family.
She
loves him. No matter what, she's down for him. Even though he's a psychopath, but she still loves him.
So in terms of inspirations, again, there was a moment in time where I wanted to be a film critic or making movies or something. And this was definitely one that was shown over and over and over again. Again, for the reasons that I said is why I think that, like, the best thing about this movie is the camera shots and the way they do this. It's amazing. And a lot of this, my understanding is a lot of this was filmed in a studio, but you can't quite tell. Like, they make the use of space seem realistic in a way that doesn't really work because of what I was talking about earlier, how the building just doesn't work at all. It's all fake and we know it. It doesn't make any sense, but they filmed a lot of it within a studio, which I think is really cool because you don't get that feeling, I don't think, watching it. So that's the inspiration, I think. Does anyone have anything else to say about this movie? I mean, do we talk about the ending?
It's a great movie. It's got a weird, complicated ending. There's a documentary that goes over the book, the movie a lot. Some of the book kind of talks about all the weird theories and stuff that people miss and all this other stuff. that's well worth a read if you have a moment, or watch. If you have a moment to watch it, check it out. It gets pretty in-depth, but it's well worth it.
Oh, yeah.
That's well, what you had to say about the ending?
No, the ending is up for interpretation. Like, we talked about the ending. It's really up for interpretation. Like, what do you think that means that he's in the picture?
Yeah. I mean, the ending makes you...
What do we think it means?
Double think, triple think. Reincarnation. All depends on everything, you know? Mostly, it makes you start asking questions. Is it reincarnation?
Is the hotel taking him in?
The ending basically makes you think about what your beliefs really is.
Mm-hmm.
It all depends on what people have on their beliefs.
Yeah.
If they have religion, if they have, you know, reincarnation, if they think scientifically or anything, it starts making them think. Mm-hmm. And if you go deep into it and you start going to the website, there's lots of people that starts asking different questions about it. What does the ending mean?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And there are lots of... There is a video that actually did not came out.
Like an ending.
Yeah, there's an
there's a lot that got cut from this.
That has caught for it because of it. You know? And if you actually go deep into it, you start seeing it and you start hearing it. Okay. So this video we cannot see, this ending we cannot see because he got caught. He got taken away because, you know, there was going to be way more controversy.
Well, I feel really sorry for Jack. I'm probably someone who would be vulnerable to The Shining. It would be really scary. Like, I would hope that I wouldn't just be left alone to go crazy. It'd be really scary all by yourself with all this happening.
What would you guys do in that
position? I don't know. I would run. I would put on as much layers as possible and go be in the snow. Try to get out.
Like, if you're Jack,
Kendon says
what would you do in his position?
Oh, Jack's position?
Go crazy.
Would you follow it?
I don't know what type of choice he has.
At this point.
I think he's completely under control of the building, more or less, as soon as he gets there.
Yeah, but do you think... Once you saw the lady on the tub, and you got scared...
Yeah, get out then.
I think he's correct.
I don't think he can. I'm kidding. I don't think he can.
Do you think that the Jack that isn't crazy, like not evil Jack, is, like, in the sunken place, like, could be there, being like, I'm stuck?
No.
I hope not. Like, that's terrifying.
No.
Another question is, if you were the son, what would you do?
The little kid?
I don't know. As a little kid, I don't know.
I wouldn't have been running around by myself.
Riding that creepy little bike.
I would still run away.
Down those creepy hallways.
But they're not...
I would have stayed by someone's side.
I mean, when he started noticing all the signs, the snow wasn't this bad.
Yeah. No, there were choices. He could have gotten out by then.
He so the kid could have told the mom and bounce, and have the parents follow him.
What do you
search for him? Do a search party for him.
What do you assume that is? Like, within the context of the movie, again, people in the scary movie don't know that necessarily that they're in a scary movie. Something kind of weird is happening. It doesn't mean that it's a demonic building.
Meanwhile,
that's a real jump.
And at that age, you trust your parents. Your parents say you're fine. You trust them.
Saw the parents weren't acting the same.
He doesn't have power. I mean, he doesn't have power in this situation. He does everything you would think you would do. He goes and tells his mom. His dad goes and checks it out. His dad lies.
Yeah.
That's true.
He runs away. He survives. He's smart. I really like that he does, when he's trying to get away from his dad in the
maze.
In the maze, he figures to walk backwards to make his tracks look like he went one way and then hide. And he escapes.
Hey, like you said, he's a great actor.
he's really
an awesome actor for his age.
MVP, definitely.
Why is picking up a huge knife next to his mom?
He's going through a phase.
Yeah, he's going through a phase.
Okay. Also inspiration. So this movie is terrifying. It's really, really scary. If you don't like scary movies, know that this is a scary movie, even though people like Tim say, oh, it's not that scary. It's 2017. This is 1980. It's fine. I'm going on record to say it is very, very scary. I don't know how Manny and Kendon feel about it. Do you guys agree that this is scary?
No, I just think there's a lot of tension.
There's action. Yes. Tension and yes. Action.
Lots of tension.
That's what I like.
Okay. Yeah. I say it's terrifying.
When I first saw it, yeah, it was scary.
How old were you when you first saw it?
14.
Yeah, that would be a good age to see it.
Yes.
Yeah. If you haven't watched Shining in a while, we're hoping you do, and you're welcome for bringing it back into your life. And I think it's a wonderful addition to our spooky October group, because it's definitely spooky and scary and the movie's not over yet, so we're still kind of watching it. Hopefully you guys get a chance to watch it and you'll enjoy it as much as we have. Thank you for joining us. Please send us some feedback. We are on where are we? We have
iTunes.
We are on iTunes. You can rate us there on Podomatic and Pocket Casts and all those places that you get podcasts. We have an email address if you want to send us feedback directly. It's mit80s.podcast@gmail.com.
80s. Right?
Yeah. mit80s.podcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. We have more spooky October following. And we'll see if Shalia makes it through it, because this is a lot. It's a lot for me. Yeah, everyone else seems okay, but it's a lot for me. All right. Take care and be safe.